The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is such an honor to have you hang out with us today, and we are honored to be broadcasting from our flagship radio station, KWAM, in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee, the home of our talk radio bunker. And, folks, we are heavily fortified today. Do we have any sweet tea? We don't have any sweet tea left. No, that was Tim Van Horn apparently drank all the sweet tea yesterday. Want to thank our good friend Tim Van Horn, by the way, filling in yesterday on the show. Had to head up to Nashville, and last night we had the TV taping of Huckabee's TV show. We are promoting the book, and we had a terrific segment. And we'll tell you more about this a little bit later, but Wynonna Judd was the musical guest. I haven't seen her in ages. Rick Santorum, also a guest on the show. We'll give you sort of an insider's look at what went down at the Huckabee taping, but we had a terrific time promoting the brand new book. And by the way, if you haven't already ordered your copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, you need to get yourself a copy of this book. They are selling like hotcakes. And it's not every day that a biscuit book sells like hotcakes. But this one is co-written with my dear friend Michelle Cox. And we want you to get a copy of this very inspirational book. All right, where do we start? There's a lot going on. And I want to start with what happened yesterday at the border with President Trump. Now, one of my favorite things that happened is that President Trump got into it with little Jimmy Acosta. He's back. Little Jimmy Acosta. I didn't know the guy was still around. I thought he was working down at TJ Maxx. But it turns out he still has a show over on CNN, the most profane name in news. And it also turns out that 75% of CNN's audience has just disappeared. It's vanished. It's almost like they were raptured. But we know that's not the case because anybody who listens to CNN is more than likely godless. But anyway, the audience is gone, and Jimmy Acosta is still at it. Here's what happened, cut number 8.
Mr. Trump, will you apologize about January 6th?
Sit down, clown. They booed it. The audience booed. So the audience intervened on President Trump's behalf at this this gathering, and they booed and heckled little Jimmy Acosta. And I say, good for you. You know what? I think the American people have just had it. You know, we are, after what we have been through the past year and a half, being locked inside of our homes, and folks are just, you know what? We just don't have the tolerance level for stupid that we used to have in this country. So little Jimmy Acosta getting booed, but something else happened at this at the border yesterday, and this is where we start our conversation, because I believe that what we have just seen is evidence that the nomination is Donald Trump's if he wants it. If Donald Trump wants to run for president in 2024, it's his. Do you see anyone right now, ladies and gentlemen, and this is an honest, heartfelt question, do you see anyone who has the ability to generate the enthusiasm that Donald Trump has generated out on the campaign trail? Do you see anyone in the Republican Party who is willing to stand up and fight the Democrats like Donald Trump? Do you see anyone who is capable of doing that? This is an honest, sincere question. As a matter of fact, Sean Hannity, my good friend over at Fox News Channel, during a town hall last night, asked President Trump a very simple question, and one that many people want to know the answer to. Cut number 10.
Let me ask the crowd of everybody here, would you like to see the president run again in 2024? You're not going to answer, but I have to ask. Where are you in the process of, or have, let me ask you this, without giving the answer what the answer is, have you made up your mind?
Yes.
Now, what you could not hear was what the president did. He smiled. So he knows what he's going to do. Now, I'm not going to presume to know what that smile means, but I want to just go out on a limb here. I believe this president to be a patriot. I believe this president loves America. And I think that's one of the reasons that he put himself out there and he went through, I mean, let's be honest, he went through a hellstorm, 4 years of just relentless attacks. Really, it's been 5 years. He didn't have to do that. The man has more money than he knows what to do with. He's got a huge, loving family. He's got everything he could want. He could spend the rest of his life out on the golf course having a good time. But he didn't do that. He sacrificed all of that, and he ran for the White House. So I think this is just a gut feeling. I think he is going to run again. And if he does, I think he wins in a landslide. And I want to explain why. This is all about optics now. We are a very visual society. And when you see this president out there with the tens of thousands of people, understand, we're talking about 30, 40,000 people coming out to a Trump rally in Ohio. The man's not president anymore. Who generates that kind of a crowd? Why were those people there? Because they believe in him. They believe in his message. But more importantly, people saw that he delivered. Look at what's happened just over the past, 6 months, 7 months in this country. The nation's in a tailspin. The border's been literally overrun, and nobody wants to do anything about it. Major cities have been turned into lawless war zones. I mean, it is literal war in Chicago right now, no matter what the lesbian mayor, Lori Lightfoot, says. It is a war zone. The public schools have literally been turned into propaganda camps, and they are churning out a new generation of socialists. Critical race theory, cancel culture mobs, rampaging our cities, rampaging our societies. And the military has been literally decimated. Literally. The Biden administration is at this very moment weakening the United States military. And everybody sees this. Donald Trump sees this. The Democrats are fundamentally transforming America. This is the third term of the Barack Obama administration on steroids. And at this moment, and again, I may be out in left field, but at this point, I don't see a single Republican who can fight the Democrats like Donald Trump. I just don't see it. Especially after watching Trump yesterday at the border. And here's the reason why. I think Donald Trump is the guy because he not only promised, he delivered. He promised he was going to make America great again, and he delivered. It's that simple, folks. But if there is a Republican out there who thinks they can rally the base like Trump, that can generate those crowds, that can generate that excitement, that can deliver on those promises, that person needs to step up right now. Otherwise, Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee for 2024. And I don't know about you, But that's okay with me. If he can deliver again on those promises, I'm okay with that. And maybe we can raise up that next generation of Republican presidential leaders. Maybe that person is Ron DeSantis or Kristi Noem or Kim Reynolds, the governor of Iowa, who went to war with Planned Parenthood and won. But I'm curious to know about you. Do you think Trump is the guy? Or is it too soon? Does he need to hold out a little bit longer? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, Avery working very hard right now on the live show blog, and you can access that over at toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, you know, there are a lot of candidates out there that claim that they have President Trump's endorsement, and they don't. And so now Team Trump is cracking down on all of this, and they're getting pretty aggressive because they don't want people out there claiming that Trump represents them when, in fact, they do not. So we're going to keep you posted as well. We're going to keep these politicians honest. Hey, let's go to the phones. You know, this weekend, President Trump is going to be holding a big rally in Sarasota, Florida. This was originally in Alabama, and there was a big kerfuffle. We've got the story over at toddstearns.com. The president was going to be down at the USS Alabama, and the Park Commission down there controls that, and they refused to let Trump come down. They said that it was going to be a partisan event, and they don't allow any partisan political events at the USS Alabama. So they pulled the plug, and it's a big mess down there. The governor put out a statement saying that they told the Park Commission that it was perfectly okay for Trump to hold his rally there. So instead of being in Alabama, the president moved this thing to Sarasota, Florida, and that's where our good friend Gene the Superfan is. He's been camped out for, is this day three now, Gene?
Well, good afternoon, Todd, and everybody listening. Yes, since Tuesday, Todd, when I called in, yes. So right now, as you speak, we have about 12 people online, okay? So it's getting growing a little bit. This is how it normally is, though, Todd. Right now, they roofed out the parking lot. They're getting things set up where the rally's going to be. So things are moving slowly but surely, sir.
Gene, I'm curious. You've been there for a couple of days now. How does that work? I mean, are you sleeping there? Do you have somebody holding your spot in line? How does that all play out?
Well, great question. But what happens is, Todd, we're all sleeping in our cars. Okay, that's what happens. We have a bunch of tents set up. So that's really the whole gig. Now, if you want to go out and get something to eat, you want to do this and that, you come back an hour, 2 hours later, you're not going to lose your spot in line. People bring us food, Todd. This lady comes out of nowhere with four pizza pies, candies, drinks. And this happens at every rally, Todd, because it's all family, and we all bond together as one.
I love this. You know, we need to start doing that here at the radio station. Come on, Grace. We got to put out the all call.
You're not kidding.
Now, Gene, there had been some controversy. I didn't know if you were aware of this, but apparently there are some people who say that this is inappropriate because of what happened down in near Miami with the condo collapse, and they're calling on the governor to call on the president to cancel the rally. The governor says, well, we never said that. And the rally is still going on. Anybody worried about that?
No, you know what, Todd? That's the first I heard of it. Because, you know, like I said, you know, we don't get much news, you know, through here and there. But no word of that. We're not worried about that. Obviously, it's a sad, emotional time what happened in Surfside, Florida there. Our prayers are with everybody and family and friends. But, you know, the rally's going to go on. You know, the president's going to bring it up, I'm sure. We'll give some love to those folks. And then we're just going to continue moving forward, you know what I'm saying? So nothing on that end with that being worried.
All right. Gene, the super fan, calling in. There he is waiting in line, first in line for the big rally Saturday in Sarasota, Florida. There's going to be a huge crowd there. It's going to be patriotic as well. This is – you watch and see what's going to happen, folks. Gene, we've got a skedaddle, but you hang in there and give us a holler back. At least he's being fed and watered. Grace, I'm really concerned about that. I mean, it's hot in Florida this time of year.
Yeah, and it's humid just like it is here. But I think he's done this enough times that he goes prepared.
But again, he said now 12 people in line, and we're talking about what, Thursday, the rally's Saturday.
Midday Thursday, too.
Who in the Republican lineup can generate that kind of enthusiasm? Who would do that?
The only other one possibly would be Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I'm not standing outside for 3 days waiting to hear from Ron DeSantis. I like the guy. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to do that. Let's go to North Carolina, Steve, on the talk station. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind today?
Well, thank you for taking my call. It occurs to me we need to get rid of left, right, red, blue. That we need to get rid of that. And as far as, yes, I thought President Trump did a good job. He can be very crass in his approach, but he did a good job. But we need someone who, I'm going to just say, I really believe, and we need to do this. It has not been done in a couple hundred years. It needs to be done. You know,
what needs to be done?
Somebody who
what needs to be done?
We need to draft a person. We need to draft them for their service, because it was never meant to be a career job, like, and I hate to call out a name like Maxine Waters. It was never meant to be a career. You're called to serve, and you serve. We need someone, and the person I truly believe that can do this, that can do what needs to be done, is Condoleezza Rice. And I know she has said, no, I don't want any part of it. Well, we need to draft her and say, look, you are called to service. You are called to duty. We need you. That is what our service people do. That is what we do.
So, Steve, let me get this straight here. So if you had a choice between Condoleezza Rice and Donald Trump, who would you go with?
Both.
Well, you can't have both people running for president. I mean, seriously, who would you? I mean, you've got a choice.
No, don't misunderstand me. I think Condi should be president, and Trump. I believe President Trump would be quite. He would be a great vice president.
Why would you want Trump as vice president? I'm not understanding that.
Because I think Condoleezza Rice is a far less divisive person. I don't know why people want to hate on our president Trump. You know, when he did,
because he's effective. Because he delivered on his promises, Steve. That's why they hate the guy. It's very simple.
Yeah. Well, they didn't do what they wanted him to do. You know, and that's the thing is, I think Condoleezza Rice, she's very reasoned. That's the whole thing. She's very reasonable.
Steve. Look, I feel your heart here. I see what you're saying. But the reality is, if Condoleezza Rice got elected president, they would be calling her female Hitler. They'd be calling her Lady Hitler. And I know that because that's what they call George W. Bush, and she is a clone of George W. Also, she's pro-choice, so she doesn't get my vote. I can't vote for a pro-choice Republican. Steve, got to skedaddle that music, but thanks for the call. Lovely songbirds in the background, too. But Steve says, Condoleezza Rice, what say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for you, and that's crucial because of your busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. And Mike is making a special offer just for my listeners. You get 2-for-1 low pricing plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but lots of other deep discounts on all MyPillow products. The MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARS. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And I'm going to get to Tucker Carlson in just a moment in this Fox News situation. I have some serious thoughts about that mess. But I want to go to this story out of the vice president's office. Things are not good in the Biden administration, folks. It is literally a dumpster fire. Never seen anything like this. And now, clearly, there is tension between Biden and Harris, and Biden's team is leaking information. Politico has a massive story, and we have the link to it on our website, a massive story about the internal workings of the vice president's office, and it is a mess, an absolute mess. As a matter of fact, they use some profanity to explain how bad it is. They say that Kamala Harris treats her staffers like crap. I cleaned that up for you. According to Politico, while much of the ire is aimed at Harris's chief and two administration officials say, the vice president herself bears responsibility for the way her office is run. It all starts at the top. And again, they're quoting a lot of anonymous sources, but it's clear that Harris and Biden are not getting along. And keep in mind, Jill Biden hates Kamala Harris because back in the debates, Kamala Harris called out Joe Biden as the racist, as the white supremacist, which in his heart of hearts, he probably is. I mean, based on some of his campaign policies and quite frankly, his behavior over the years, the guy did eulogize a former Klan leader. Now, you watch what's going to happen here. They're going to try to frame this as some sort of a race issue, which is going to be beautiful. They're going after each other. But the question now is, and this is a tough one, because we all know that when it comes to Joe Biden, God love him, the cheese has done slid off that cracker. I mean, he's not all there. It's horrible. We all know it. We all see it. But do you really want Kamala Harris? So here's the question. Are you better off having a senile guy with dementia in the Oval Office or Kamala Harris? Well, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Our sweet friend, Miss Carlotta from Rhode Island, wants to weigh in on this story. All right, Miss Carlotta, what's going on?
Hi. Well, if you recall, you know, he says so many things. Who can remember all the lies and all the broken promises? But one of the first things Biden says was, in his administration, there will be a workplace of respect. He will not tolerate any abusive workplaces, scratch that, okay? Now, the other thing, he may not be so stupid, because as long as he keeps Kamala around, nobody is going to want to remove him, because who's going to want her?
Well, that's a good point. And again, I think we all know what we're getting with Joe Biden. Kamala Harris, I'm not so sure. But it's clear to me, Carlotta, that this is all strategic. And maybe that is part of it, is to convince the American people that Kamala Harris is such a bad person that we're better off having, you know, Joe Biden in, who doesn't even remember what day of the week it is. But I will say this, Carlotta, going back, Kamala Harris has a track record. I mean, she is a very difficult person to work for. And just remember that she lost her home state during the Democrat presidential primaries. That says a lot to me.
Who can forget?
Carlotta, it's a good thought. So you think that Biden, that Kamala Harris is actually the Biden insurance policy. Ladies and gentlemen, what say you? Carlotta, thanks for the call. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, coming up a little bit later on in the show, our good friend Sean Spicer from Newsmax and Liz Harrington, who is the chief spokesperson for President Trump. She's going to be on the show a little bit later on this afternoon. So I want to go back and talk about this Tucker Carlson story, which has been brewing for the past, I don't know, couple of days now. And Tucker Carlson came out and said that the NSA, the Biden administration, was spying on him. They were reading his emails. They were reading his text messages. And this is a big, big deal. I'm not sure that the average American understands what kind of deadly and dangerous games that the NSA and the federal government are playing. This is the deep state that President Trump warned us about. This is the D.C. swamp. That's what this is all about. So the NSA responded to the allegations that they were spying on Tucker Carlson. And they did not necessarily say, well, I'm going to read this to you. And it's very important to read between the lines here. On June 28, 2021, Tucker Carlson alleged the National Security Agency had been monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take the show off the air. This allegation is untrue. Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency, and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air. All right, fine. But that's not what he said. He said they were targeting, they were listening to his text, or his phone calls, they were reading his text messages and his emails. And they did not deny that part. So that tells me there is something to this. But there's something else very bizarre going on here. Very bizarre. Why hasn't Fox News Channel been all over this story? Have you noticed that? Fox News Channel is not defending Tucker Carlson. As a matter of fact, the one story they did about all of this was just a transcript of what Tucker Carlson said on his Fox News Channel television program. Now, I asked some folks who are still on the know. There have been so many friends that have been fired or laid off at Fox News over the past 2 years. So I hardly know anyone left, you know, behind the scenes. Everybody's gone. And that story was not a very big – that was a big story that was not covered by anybody else. But a lot of people have been laid off at Fox News. Now, let me take my talk show – hat off for just a moment and talk to you as the owner of a talk radio station, which I do. I own KWAM, the news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. I employ talk radio hosts, so I have commentators like Tucker Carlson who work for me. And we have a policy here. You can say whatever you want to say as long as you're not cursing or saying things on the radio that are, you know, that violate the FCC, you know, laws governing language. You can say whatever you want to say. You can have whatever opinion you want to have. I don't tell people what to do with their shows. That's their show. And we pay them to do that job. We don't micromanage. I remember when I was at Fox News, I got called into management one day for Fox Radio. And that's the thing. You need to understand, Fox Radio, far leftist. Fox News Channel, I mean, the executives are still conservative. But Fox Radio is a different story. And they called me in one day and said, hey, you need to have more Democrats on your radio show. What? What? I knew at that moment my days were numbered at Fox. I knew it. But here at KWAM, we don't play that game. We let our talk show host say what's on their minds. I may not agree with it, but it's their opinion, and I pay them for their opinion. And if they're getting advertisers, if they are getting an audience, I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that. But I got to tell you something. If Tim Van Horn, who's one of he's our chief fill-in for my show. He's also the morning show host at KWAM. And if you've got to listen to Tim's show. It's really the best conservative morning show in America. It's a lot of fun. But let's just say that Tim came to me and said, Todd, I have evidence that the NSA, the FBI, is spying on my program. I have evidence that they are reading my text messages and my emails. Do you know what I would do? Grace, where's Grace Baker? Grace Baker, do you know what I would do if Tim Van Horn came to me and said the NSA and FBI are spying on him?
I think you'd be making some calls.
All hell would have broken loose.
Yeah.
The wrath of Almighty God would have rained down on the FBI and the NSA.
Yep.
We would have taken every single hour, every single minute of broadcast time to defend Tim Van Horn.
Yep.
We would have gone out there and hired attorneys to stand alongside him and defend him. We would have done whatever is necessary to protect our radio host.
Of course.
Why isn't Fox News doing that for Tucker Carlson?
Because they really don't care about him.
You think so? You think that's what
I mean, he's the only thing keeping him afloat, but if, you know, they're also probably secretly like, well, we wouldn't mind him leaving.
It's puzzling to me because that is the most watched program on the entire network.
By far.
By far. he has a bigger audience than Bill O'Reilly had in that time slot. But beyond that, Tucker Carlson is speaking the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm wondering, just wondering, if they don't want Tucker Carlson around the Fox News corner of the world anymore. Because I'm telling you one thing. Here's what I would have done. I would have called Tim Van Horn. Let's just say Tucker Carlson worked for me. I would have brought Tucker into the office, and I said, Tucker, I heard what you said on the TV last night. Where's your evidence? What do you have? Because if you've got it, if you've got the goods, we're going to go to war for you. And Tucker would have given me whatever he had. And if he did not, then that would have raised a red flag. That would have been an issue. But Tucker Carlson has been pretty honest with the American people, and I find it hard to believe that he would just come out there and pull something out the wazoo and accuse the NSA, accusing government agencies of doing something that is, quite frankly, illegal to do on American soil. So I'm just curious, why do you think Fox News is not out there defending Tucker Carlson? 844-747-8868. We're going to go to the phones after this break. That's 844-747-8868. I tell you, folks, that's why I watch Newsmax. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, a lot of you folks are fired up over on the Facebook Live page. Lindy says, Fox is run by libs. That's why they don't cover Trump rallies. I stopped watching. Dawn says Tucker tells the truth. Fox News has lost a lot of credibility. It shows in their ratings numbers. The numbers don't lie. They have a liberal nut job at the helm. He has ruined Fox. Ricky says you have to ask why Fox is not supporting Tucker. One word, Ryan, as in Paul Ryan, who's on the board of directors. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Our good friend Steve from Central Arkansas hanging out with us. All right, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I would like to get your opinion on this as kind of an insider of the media and all this stuff. I mean, if Tucker left Fox News, what would you envision that would do to the cable news ratings and wherever he do you think he has enough clout to literally pull the number one cable news rating to wherever he decided to go if he left?
I believe he does, Steve. And the reason why is that Tucker is speaking the truth. It's not talking points. He is probably more of a libertarian than he is a conservative. And so a lot of he's just his own man is the point. And again, you know, he comes from a family of wealth, so it's not like he needs the Fox News gig. He's got plenty of cash in the bank. But the problem, and this is where it gets weird. Even though this is the number one show, there are a lot of advertisers that simply refuse to advertise on his program. So they just move those ads to some other place on the channel. So they factor into that equation. So you can have the number one show, but your show may not be making that much money, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, my opinion, what the country needs right now is a media source we can depend on a lot less than they. And I'd hate to see Tucker start losing some of his credibility by staying somewhere too long.
No, I hear you. I can't tell you how many
network.
Steve, I can't tell you how many times people have told me, Todd, you got out at the right time, and I truly believe that.
I agree too.
All right, Steve, good hearing from you, and we love all of our great listeners in the state of Arkansas. Real quick, let's go to Dennis, Connecticut. Dennis, got about 60 seconds.
Oh, I'll keep it short, Todd. I'm sorry about that. You know, I'm kind of upset about Rumsfeld dying. I was hoping you could pass a message along to him whenever.
All right, Dennis. Yeah, we're not going to do that. But I will say this, Donald Rumsfeld, these crank callers, they kill me. Donald Rumsfeld, a great American patriot, and he passed away, lived an incredibly long life, and he was a patriot. But the one thing I'll never forget about Donald Rumsfeld, as we go to break here, it was 9/11, and they were trying to find the plane just flew into the Pentagon, blew up. It was horrible. Death, chaos, carnage everywhere. They could not find Rumsfeld. The security detail could not find Rumsfeld. And people were thinking, you know, the worst. Well, it turned out that Rumsfeld had seen what was happening, and he raced out of his office. Again, we're talking about the Secretary of Defense, ran out of his office, and he was helping pull people out of the carnage and the devastation. And there are photographs, and you can still see these photographs. You can Google them. The defense secretary is helping to carry a wounded person on a stretcher into an ambulance. It was bravery and heroism. And Donald Rumsfeld, a great American man, and pray for his family, folks. All right, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. Hope things are going good wherever you might be. By the way, write this number down, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, if you go to our website right now, you can order a signed copy of my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. This is a fun read, folks. You're going to love this, and it makes a terrific Christmas present or a special gift for your loved one. It was a lot of fun to write this with my good friend Michelle Cox. You can get yourself a signed copy over at our store at toddstarnes.com, and you need to do it quickly because these books are going fast. As a matter of fact, thank you to Amazon. We are the number one devotion in America right now, so we appreciate all of your great support. Well, you know, we were talking about Newsmax just in the last segment and how they were one of the few networks on cable television that actually broadcast Trump's rally. Fox News did not cover that rally, and I think they were making a statement by not doing that. I sincerely do. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We're honored to have one of the stars of Newsmax TV with us, our good friend Sean Spicer. Sean, good to have you back with us.
Always great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
And you know, Sean, you do have to step back and wonder, you know, why would a cable channel not cover what was clearly a newsworthy event? This was the president's first rally since leaving the White House and an event that, according to some reports, drew as many as 30, 40,000 people to the middle of nowhere, Ohio.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's a great question that you're asking. Frankly, it was to Newsmax's benefit. We had over 3 million viewers at that time. You mentioned Fox didn't cover it, which was fantastic because there was a place that people could go. And Todd, the thing that's interesting is people, when I worked at the RNC, got tired of me. I had a saying, and I would say that the data doesn't lie, right? So if you have a good product, it sells. The market dictates this. And at the end of the day, you realize that the reason Newsmax beat out Fox in that key demographic at the time was because there's enough people who want to see President Trump talk. They want to hear what he has to say. They want to hear if, you know, what he has to weigh, the issues that he wants to weigh in on. And so, you know, it's to me an interesting thing because these people clearly do not want viewers to get to hear what the president has to say and the issues that he wants to raise. And I think that's frankly a bigger problem with most of the corporate media is that it's not just how they cover, it's what they cover and what they don't cover.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And again, it's not like you guys were taking a side here. This was a legitimate news event, and you covered it as such. And all the other networks should have done the same thing. They did not. And to your point, Newsmax benefited by having that massive audience. And you guys did a terrific job of covering it as well. And it's got to be exciting for you as a host.
Well, you know what, Todd? Here's the thing. That one of the things that I think is so interesting in the media today is that they tell you what to think. So think about what Newsmax did. Is it literally just played the president's speech? You as a viewer could sit back and say, I agree with that, I don't agree with that, but you hear him unfiltered, right? Too often in the media right now, they tell you what to think, what to believe, what's right and what's wrong. They don't want you to have a brain. And I think that this is what's wrong, and that was the beauty of the coverage of this, was it was like, here he is, listen to him, and then yes, there was some analysis after the fact, but we didn't interject during the speech. And that's the thing that I think is missing today, is that the mainstream corporate media is so scared that you are going to hear issues and people and ideas that will change your views and make you go, you know what, I'm probably more conservative than I ever knew, because they don't want you to understand the issues. And that's what I think we really face as a challenge right now. That's why they're scared of Newsmax.
Sean, I think that's a great analysis of this. And again, as a viewer of Fox, of Newsmax, I just want to say thank you guys because you're doing that job. And I think people, more people every day are tuning in. And that's going to make you feel great as a host when you hear from all of these new viewers who are discovering Newsmax.
Well, what makes it more important to me, Todd, is that most of the people who I bump into that watch Newsmax or watch Spicer and Company every night at 6 will say, a friend turned me on to this. It's not through some massive advertising, which we do. I know you've been a great friend and to the network and to our show. But it's word of mouth. It's people saying, I stumbled upon your show. I love the guest. I love the topics that you covered. And that means more than anything, because it's one thing to spend a ton of money and get people through advertising to tune in or try it. But our growth has been slow and continues to be steady. We're now the fourth largest news network. And that's because people are telling their friends, their family, their colleagues, hey, I tuned into the show, into this network, Newsmax. And, you know, I heard stuff that I'm not hearing on the other shows. And like I said, I'm hearing speeches that no one else will cover.
Sean Spicer, ladies and gentlemen, you can watch his show on Newsmax TV tonight, 6 o'clock. Sean, we saw the president out there at the border. He was doing a town hall last night, our good friend Sean Hannity, and he said that he had made a decision about 2024. He didn't tell us what that decision was. He smiled. But the reaction from that crowd, and honestly, Sean, the reaction at these rallies, he's got another one coming up Saturday that you guys are going to be broadcasting live. What is your take on this, your observation about Trump and what he may or may not do come 2024?
You know, Todd, since January of this year, I've gone back and forth almost by the week. I'm now firmly in the camp that he's going to run again. And if there was any question about it last night, when I saw what they did to the Trump Organization today, I thought, he's in. There's no way that he won't run. Obviously, things can change, but I think that he, after the rally, and we'll see how the one in Florida goes this weekend, but I think that he is firmly in the camp of, I'm running again. And there's, you know, obviously things can change, but I think that when he said that I've made up my mind, he definitely didn't give the impression that it was not to do it again. I think everything that I've seen over the last couple of weeks has been more on the side of I am running than not. And for him to come out and make it clear that he made a decision, makes me very confident that he will run again in 2024. My guess is that he waits till after the 2022 midterms when Republicans take back the House and then declares it.
Well, I'm pretty excited about that. I opened up the show today saying the exact same thing. I was like you. I was back and forth. But after watching this, it's my gut tells me that this is a guy who's going to run again, and he's ready. I think he's ready for that. Hey, real quick, you were in the White House. There's this Politico report out. There seems to be some pretty bad blood between the president's office and the vice president's office. People are leaking all sorts of horrible things. What do you think's going on there?
Well, look, it's funny. We're going to cover that tonight on the show a little. But when Politico reports it, you know that this isn't like a right-wing hit job. This is, you know, legit dysfunction. And there's a difference between being protective, which they're trying to spin, and the level of dysfunction. They've had several high-profile staffers leave the White House. Now, just recall that we're still, as of yesterday or the day before, we were still in June. You know, we didn't have – it's amazing that in the Trump world, we had a lot of people go towards the end of the summer. So my official last day was September 1st. Reince's previous was in August, I believe. But these guys are all in the vice president's office. They're high up, and they're making it seem like, oh, they were a long plan. How do you long plan something when you've only just begun? I mean, that's like when they announced their departure on the first day, that, you know, the day that they started saying, hey, we're going to leave in a month. Why do you go do that? And it took a lot, I think, for Politico to write this. And I say that because, look, the White House is very, very clear with a lot of these publications that if you cross us, we cut off your access. And so I will give Politico some credit for printing this because, you know, as friendly as they generally are to the left and to these guys, they know that by printing anything negative about this White House, that's going to limit potentially some of their access. And in this case, it was the vice president, so it probably wasn't that big of a threat. But, you know, it just tells you where things are, that they're that bad.
Oh, it's bad, and I suspect it's going to get worse. Sean, looking forward to hearing your take on it tonight. Again, 6 o'clock on Newsmax TV, ladies and gentlemen. Sean, appreciate you dropping by the show today.
Absolutely, Todd. Thank you. Have a great 4th. We don't talk again.
Likewise. All right. Sean Spicer, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot. Got a terrific show over at Newsmax TV. You got to check that out. By the way, I will be on Newsmax later this afternoon, I believe 5:30 Eastern time. So we'll be talking about the biscuit book. That's going to be a fun conversation. And we may talk about a few other things as well. But we are very honored to be a part of the Newsmax family now and as a Newsmax contributor. And we'll be telling you more about that here in the coming days. All right. We've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. I am curious how many of you have made the switch over to Newsmax. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Grace Baker, what are you doing? Are you having a medical issue?
No, I'm just dancing to the Doobie Brothers because I'm going to see them in October.
Are you really?
Yes.
So Mr. Call Screener,
yes,
got you tickets.
For my birthday, yes.
Is that right?
I'm very excited.
Are you taking Merlot?
No, that'd be kind of a hassle. We're going to New Orleans, so.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a fun weekend.
I'm so excited.
Have you been down there before?
Never.
It's not exactly a religious city.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But it's a lot of fun.
It will be fun. Good food, right?
I'll have to give you a list of great places to go. You know who would be great is Miss Janice.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
She needs to give you a list of all the great restaurants to go to.
She does. I need it.
I really don't want to bring you and Avery into this next story.
I warned
but,
him.
But it's troubling. I'm curious. Have you guys ever been to a gay pride parade?
Never.
I can't say I ever have.
All right. So in New York City, that's like a huge thing. They'll have a couple of million people come out to the gay pride parade.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one. They used to have one in my neighborhood. It used to come right by my apartment. And I got in so much trouble one time because I decided to describe what I was seeing in my neighborhood in graphic detail, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And it got me in trouble, and GLAAD, which is the gay activist group, came after me. How dare you? How dare you comment that there were men with buttless leather chaps walking down your street? It was like moons over Miami. So,
a lot of moons.
Pasty, too.
Ew.
I don't judge. I just described. So there was a lot of horrible stuff. And so because they tell you, oh, these parades are family friendly. You can bring folks out. Bring the kids. Bring a picnic. Kids. You know, just have a – it's like, you know, Disney World with lots of leather.
No.
Yeah.
So guys, the Washington Post published a long story about – and they call this – kink. I wasn't aware of that, but that's what they call it. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a subculture of the LGBT alphabet people movement.
Yes.
And so here, Avery, you sound very uncomfortable right now.
I'm uncomfortable.
I read this story yesterday, and I don't want to relive it.
ToddStarnes.com.
I'm sort of uncomfortable as well. So the Washington Post published a story written by a woman who is a mother, by the way. Her name is Lauren Rowello, and she goes by the pronoun they. And I'm not sure, but she's a lesbian. She's married to a woman, so technically she's a lesbian, right?
I read in the story that her wife is trans, so
wait.
I don't know how that works.
Wait, I missed that part. Wait, what? So that means she's straight.
By right? some sort of standards, yes.
I mean,
this is very confusing.
So wait a second.
Yep.
So there's a lot to unravel here. So the woman identifies as they. She's married to a lesbian who happens to be a man. So technically, they are a straight couple. There's a lot of confusion going on there in that household.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't even get to the big part of the story.
I was going to say this isn't even. This is like the intro.
I'm wondering who wears the pants. I'm just saying. Who brings home the bacon? Oh. Which one's barefoot and pregnant? Well, we know which one's barefoot and pregnant.
Todd.
No, I'm just saying in the vernacular, you know.
I know. Wow, I
I'm
still
in
like
so
that
much trouble right now, folks. So much trouble. I should have promoted
off the crack.
I should have promoted the biscuit book. That's what I should have done.
I never heard that phrase. So you said that earlier, Todd. That's my new phrase.
The cheese done slid off the cracker.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Joe Biden. So anyway, Lauren Rovello is writing she wrote an essay. This was a long essay, guys.
It was.
She had way too much to say.
I got to tell you, I almost threw up a couple of times. But here's the gist. The writer for the Washington Post, Ms. Rovello, says there's nothing wrong with exposing your children to hairy-chested men wearing nothing but leather thongs as they spank each other.
Is that a quote from the article?
I feel like that's incredibly wrong.
Todd?
I'm going to read the exact quote. That is a paraphrase. Here's what she wrote. When our children grew tired of marching, so she would actually have her children march in the gay pride parades. When my children grew tired of marching, we plopped onto a nearby curb. Just as we got settled, our elementary schooler pointed in the direction of oncoming floats, raising an eyebrow at a bare-chested man in dark sunglasses whose black suspenders clipped into a leather thong. That's going to be painful. The man paused to be spanked playfully by a partner with a flog.
Ow.
Mommy.
Ow.
Mommy,
yes.
What are they doing?
Getting a
what
spanking.
What are they doing? He's been naughty.
Oh, dear Lord.
So, and just reading this, guys.
Yeah.
Mommy, what are they doing? My curious child asked as our toddler cheered them on. Oh, spank him. Spank him hard. Oh, my God. That's horrible. So there are toddlers cheering on the guy in the leather thong as he's being flogged in public. The pair was the first of it. You see, I cleaned it up. The actual quotes are worse, guys.
That's terrible.
Yes, awful.
The pair was the first of a few dozen kinksters who danced down the street, laughing as they twirled their whips and batons, leading companions by leashes.
Leashes?
So they had dog collars, studded dog. You see, I describe all of this, and I get crucified, and this person is saying, there's nothing wrong with this, and if you don't let your kids watch this and be exposed to this, then you're the problem in America.
I wouldn't let my dog see it with the dog leashes.
Oh.
I'd be like, come on, Merlo. Don't know.
All I can say is God only knows what's going on in the MyPillow doggy bed. God only knows. Grace is crying.
Thanks,
right
Todd.
Now.
Thanks,
Todd. I know. I'm just telling you, folks, this is disgusting. So the entire point of this essay was to convince moms and dads that there's nothing wrong with letting your children see this Sodom and Gomorrah blank show happening in your cities. This is disgusting. There's a word for this. It's called grooming. These people are sickos. They're perverts, ladies and gentlemen. And honestly, somebody ought to be on the phone to Child Protective Services to yank those kids out of whatever kind of a home they live in. Jeez aloo, America. And shame on the Washington Post, a bunch of porno publishers. That's what that is. We'll be right back. Good Lord. So, Grace Baker, last night, yesterday we drove to Nashville, which is, what, about a three-hour drive? We made it in 2 hours and 15 minutes. The Cadillac, you know, it drives pretty smooth at 90 miles an hour.
Smooth.
On I-40. Mm-hmm. Got there, did the Huckabee taping with Governor Mike Huckabee. Rick Santorum was there. Winona Judd.
Ooh.
She was hilarious. She's apparently doing the CBD stuff now.
Oh.
And she apparently really enjoys it, and it's very effective.
Okay.
So she comes out to do her segment, and at some point she's like, quote, she's chanting over and over, CBD, CBD, CBD. And then she looks down during the interview with Huckabee, and she realizes she's not wearing shoes.
Oh, no.
And then they, I have to show that this is kind of a funny story. So they're, this is all on TBN, right? The, and so they're taping the song she's singing, and the word hell is in the song. It's in the lyrics. And I guess they had told her, you know, this is a Christian TV network. You can't really say hell, you know, unless, you know, you're preaching. You need to, so anyway, she's singing and she forgot and they stop. And she was like, damn it, we can't say hell.
Oh, no.
And so she, yeah. So then she redid the song with heck.
Gonna say she's gonna have to edit that one.
Anyway, I thought, you know, how could this night be so much more fun? She was so gracious. We had a great time backstage, a lot of fun. And I thought, how could this possibly be even more of an awesome night in Nashville? If only Congresswoman Kat Kamick would have been with us, that would have been a party.
Oh man, it would have been a party.
But can I tell you, Congresswoman, what I was so disappointed because a good many of our staff, when I told them, oh wow, we had Wynonna Judd, they're like, who's Wynonna Judd? I'm like,
what
are they teaching these kids? What's going on?
Hey, listen, I may be the youngest Republican woman in Congress today, but I at least grew up. I was born in 88, and if I didn't know who Wynonna Judd was, my mom would smack me right across the face. We're analog, but we're also digital. So.
I love it. Love it. All right. The great lady from the state of Florida, Kat Kamick. And by the way, we actually heard from a caller. He's been in line for 2 days waiting to get into that Sarasota rally. I'm not seeing any other Republican with that much enthusiasm. And I'm telling you, Kat, I think Donald Trump's going to run.
You know, I think it is anyone's guess at this point. I've spoken to President Trump personally just a couple weeks ago and asked him point blank what his plans were, and he was pretty coy with it. But I think no matter what ends up happening, he is going to be a driving force, not just in the midterms, but in 2024 and beyond. He is going to have a remarkable influence on American politics, and that's much to the chagrin of those on the left and some of the squishies in the middle. But, you know, I think him and his team have made such an impact in American politics, in culture, in the mainstream media, this America First agenda that they crafted, created, and really started the implementation of. Americans want to see that. They don't want their leader to be on a world apology tour. They want to know that when they go to the grocery store, that the produce in the grocery store is from their local farmers. They want to know that the car is made in America. They want to know that they have the military and first responders being taken care of. They want an America First agenda. And he was the creator, the crafter, the implementer of that. And I think people would love to see him continue to play a role in our politics. I know I would. And quite frankly, Washington has been needing to get shaken up quite a bit, and he did just that. He was the ultimate disruptor.
I want to go back to something you said. You are, what, the youngest Republican up on Capitol Hill right now?
I am, yes.
So what is it that this party needs to do to attract next generation voters? What are we not doing that we should be doing?
You know, I've actually made it a personal mission of mine during this upcoming midterm election to identify millennial candidates across the country who are America First, really compassionate, care about their country, want to do good things, and are not scared to shake up and really go against the status quo. And the number one thing that I tell people when they say, why can't we attract millennials? Why aren't they getting it? I said, well, one, you know, we grew up in a analog and a digital world. So we get both, you know, the 80s babies and some of the early 90s babies. We saw both worlds. So we grew up in a time where everything needs to kind of be explained. We get it, but we want to understand a person or an entity's motivation. We want to know why. And this is the most educated, most diverse generation that we have coming up. And if you look at Gen Z and millennials, we now make up the largest voting bloc in America. So to get us engaged, there's definitely a sense of, hey, Republicans, it's time to start getting focused on a unified message that explains the why our conservative policies the best policies to tackle some of the issues that people are too scared to talk about. I can't tell you how many people tell me, well, why aren't we talking about homelessness or poverty or opioid addiction, housing issues, environmental issues? And I said, well, we're the best ones to fix it. Conservatives are. We've got the best policies. And when I explain why, they get it. And it's just that little thing of explaining why. It goes so far. But I think previous generations have really focused on PowerPoints and data and very non-sexy topics. And it hasn't been an attractive point for millennials. So it's that component, but it's also millennials want someone to be authentic. They like someone to be their true, real self. And we've seen for a long time politicians who have tried to be someone or something that they're not. And I tell some of my older colleagues all the time, I said, you're a funny guy or you're a funny gal or you're really smart. Own that lane and really, really show your constituents who you are authentically. And they'll love you for that. If you look at Kennedy in Louisiana, I mean, he's really come into his own and is kind of now a cultural phenomenon.
Oh my God, those phrases! He is like a quintessential Southerner. I love those phrases.
Yeah, he's just being himself, and that's all millennials like and want. They just want someone who's going to be authentic, who's going to be real. And it's amazing the people that come out of the woodwork from my generation and talk about these issues, or they'll say, oh man, I saw that Kennedy guy, or I saw this person. I love that guy. And you would never think that there would be that connection, but they're just being very honest about who they are. And that is a huge missing component to the conservative messaging right now.
Well, you know, I'll never forget there was one of the Republican candidates was down in the southern states. And, you know, a lot of folks do this. They come down south and they pander by, you know, pretending with the fake southern accent. Oh, it was Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney was eating white. You could tell just by the consistency of the grits, Kat, that they were. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get southern for just a second, so our apologies. Just bear with us. But Kat, you could tell from the consistency and the color of the grits, they were store-bought. And he was like, I love these grits.
They were instant.
I'm like, no, you don't. Nobody likes store-bought grits. Liar!
Oh, you know, it's like the movie My Cousin Vinny, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And he goes in there and he says, how long does it take to cook a grit? What is a grit? And that's exactly it. You know, I think Hillary Clinton in 2016, she got a real dose of reality when she was traveling across the country, and she'd show up in the South, and all of a sudden, you know, this senator, you know, Senator Hillary Clinton from New York was saying, y'all. I mean, come on. It's just pandering, pandering, pandering. And I think people will respect you if you are who you are and you don't try to be something that you're not. And politicians could learn a lesson or two about just being authentically who they are. And they'd get so much further with people. If it doesn't matter if you're a Yankee and you come down to the South and you're just, you know, with a thick Yankee accent. I mean, people appreciate that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We got to get back to being people and really seeing each other as Americans rather than, you know, Republican versus Democrat. But I think it's kind of funny. You talked about the grit.
I'm just so impressed that, you know, My Cousin Vinny, that's one of my favorite movies. It's
Utes.
Oh, my word. All right, Kat, we got to leave it there. Got to get you to Memphis sometime soon, and we'll head out to Beale Street, grab some ribs, and show you around this part of the country.
Ooh, that's what I'm talking about. I love it. Count me in.
All right. Hey, we'll even do Graceland. So there you go.
Okay.
It's good stuff over there.
It.
All right, Kat Kamick, ladies and gentlemen. She is co-chair of the Campus Free Speech Caucus, doing some great work up there on Capitol Hill. Kat, God bless. Thanks a lot. Happy 4th of July.
Likewise. Have a good one. Have a safe weekend.
All right. There she is. Wow. So My Cousin Vinny. Well, that's a great movie. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. 8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
by now, you've heard me talk about our good friend Mike Lindell. It was great seeing him over at the NRB in Dallas, Texas, a couple of weeks ago. We had such a great visit, and the guy is just so joyful. You know, they tried to destroy this man, but he will not bow down. He will not bend over. He is standing tall, and God love him, and we're just so honored to stand alongside Mike Lindell. He is a sponsor of this radio program, and he does so many great things for our audience and even sweet little Merlot the Dalmatian, sending Merlot a free MyPillow doggy bed. And that's just who Mike is. You know, he's just he loves doing nice things for folks, and he wants to do some nice things for you. MyPillow, folks, they don't go flat. What can I say? You can wash them. You can dry them as many times as you want. I was talking to one of my family members on the drive back from. We took the family up to Nashville. We were coming back, got in about 1 o'clock this morning, and I could not wait to see MyPillow. But they told me, they said, you know, we've had MyPillows for 10 years now, and they are almost, they're still brand new. They're made in the U.S. of A., and I think that's the real deal, you know, and that's the reason why. You have Americans making American pillows on American soil. Well, folks, some great news. Mike offering the premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You're going to be able to get a queen-size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're normally going to pay almost $70 for that pillow. You're going to save $40 because you're listening to this radio show. If you want a king-size pillow, it's only going to cost you $5 more. That's a pretty good deal. By the way, all of the MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I mean, that's... Try going down to Bed Bath & Beyond and getting something like that. Not going to happen. So here's what I want you to do, folks. Go to MyPillow.com, use the radio listener square and my promo code, STARNS. You're going to get deep discounts on every single thing you buy. The Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, MyPillow Towel Sets. I had them all, and you're going to love them. Incredible towels, by the way. That's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS. Or if you want to call, you want to go old school, that's all right. Get out the rotary dial and write this number down, 800-839-8506. When you call, just tell them you want to use the promo code STARNS, and they are going to get you hooked up. Got a question for you. There's a brand new survey out, and this is a question for our audience. And I'm very anxious to hear your thought on this. The Trafalgar Group reached out to a lot of American citizens and asked a very simple question. Do you feel more or less free after the global pandemic? Their survey found that a majority of Americans say we have less freedom as a result of the China virus outbreak. 57%. That's a pretty solid number. 57% of Americans say, yeah, we don't have as much freedom as we used to have. And I'm wondering, do you agree with that? Do you believe that we have less personal freedom now than we did before the China virus outbreak? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I'm not surprised by this. I am not surprised by the findings of this poll. When you look at what's happened to this country over the past year and a half, you've got church houses that were shut down. We've had pastors on American soil arrested, thrown into jail for preaching the word of God. You had people that showed up at church in places like Mississippi, by the way, and those people were fined. You had schools in many parts of the country still shut down, children forced to attend these Zoom classes. You got the jackbooted health department agents going door to door, shutting down, padlocking businesses, fining restaurant owners, putting people out of work. And now you've got a shocking number of people that are more than happy just to stay at home and sit on their behind, their hindquarters, their buttocks, and not get a paycheck. Lazy. Lazy. Shame on you. We're Americans. We're not lazy. Who do you think we are? Canadians? Mexicans? No. We get out there and we work our butts off. That's who we are. That's why we're the greatest country on the face of the earth. Not because we slack off. Not like some third world country like Mexico. Unbelievable. I get upset about that. We were in the drive-thru It's a long drive to Nashville, and we needed a snack. So we stopped by McDonald's. And Grace Baker, Avery, I'm in the drive-thru of the McDonald's.
Well, first of all, why are you at McDonald's?
We were driving through.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to get an...
No Chick-fil-A nearby?
There was no Chick-fil-A.
Ah, that's unfortunate.
There aren't a lot of Chick-fil-A's between here and Nashville.
You take what you
need. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Hope you didn't try to get ice cream there, though.
No. I got the unsweet iced tea.
Okay.
I'm on the diet. And I got, instead of like the Big Mac, I got one of the like the kitty hamburgers.
Junior Mac.
Yeah, the junior hamburger, the cheeseburger. Okay. And we're waiting for the order. And I look, there's a sign on the drive-thru window of the McDonald's now. $100 signing bonus for all new employees. $100.
They're trying to get people to come and work.
People don't want to work.
Nope.
Lazy, lazy people.
Very lazy.
Yeah.
And McDonald's is smart because there's a note at the bottom. You got to work 90 days before you can get your $100 bonus.
There
smart. It
is.
And people don't want to do it.
Nope.
Because they're lazy. That comes from mama and daddy. I'm curious, Grace Baker, how old were you when you had to start working?
Oh, almost 16. Like, in terms of a consistent job.
Avery, do you have your first job? Oh, well, of course you got your first job. You're working for us. But you worked. How old were you when you first had to, like, do a job?
I believe it was 16.
All right. So you had to get out there and work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if your parents aren't the parents that were going to let you just sit around and, you know, slack off.
Well, I didn't necessarily, I wasn't told to work. I just wanted to.
Right.
But I was told to work.
I was told to work. Yeah, that's...
And I worked some before that, but that was my first, like,
official.
Did you have chores?
I had chores, and I'd do, you know, help people with stuff, you know, random jobs here and there, but they don't really let you get into the workforce until you're 16 anyway.
Well, nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays. That's what I'm saying.
Back when I was growing up, you had like an 8-year-old working the drive-thru at Popeye's Fried Chicken.
Now there are laws for that.
I worked in a warehouse, so it did not fly.
Laws. Stupid laws. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Hey, go to work. Get a job. This is America. America. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Dadgummit. Grace Baker, you're not going to believe this.
What'd you do now?
I've gotten in trouble again on the social medias.
I'm not surprised, but what'd you do this time?
So after being permanently banned forever from LinkedIn.
Thanks to me, by the way.
Thanks to you. And then they undid it about a week or so ago, after months.
What?
We had been, they undid it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't want to tell you because you were going to go post something else and get me in trouble.
I would never.
So then I posted the video, of the BBC reporter. Getting upset with mistaking Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton, which was an easy mistake, you know, right? It's easy.
Sure.
Mistake. So I posted that on the LinkedIn, and they removed the post.
No.
They said I was guilty of violating their policy about bullying.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm. They did. It happened during the commercial break. Also, so anyway, this was on me. It wasn't, you didn't do this, folks, so don't send Grace any hate mail. This was on me. I did it. It was my fault.
Not my fault this time.
Thank you, Grace. Also, and I'm curious to know, we're starting to get a lot of reports, and if you are on Facebook, we want to hear from you. This is a pretty weird thing. Apparently, a lot of people are getting a message popping up on their Facebook feed saying, for example, one guy named Michael. This is from our good friend Jack Posobiec. And he posted a screenshot of this. Michael, you may have been exposed to harmful extremist content recently. Violent groups try to manipulate your anger and disappointment. You can take action now to protect yourself and others. And then they have a link you can click to get support and understand the dangers of extremism. And also hear stories of people who have escaped violent groups. I'm wondering if you have seen something like this on your Facebook page. And if you have, give us a call. We want to hear about it. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So look, yesterday, President Trump was visiting the border, something that Kamala Harris was shamed into doing. And even then, she didn't go to the place where the border problem is the worst. President Trump was mocking the vice president. Let's go to cut number 9, please.
So with that, we're going over to the border right now. Mm-hmm. But we're going to the real part of the border where there's real problems, not a part where you look around and you don't see anybody. We're going to admire the wall and how it works, because wherever we have the wall, that's what made the big difference. It made tremendous difference.
Well, it certainly did. One of the individuals who was with the president is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now from the great state of Georgia, Congressman Buddy Carter. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, Congressman, what was that like for you being there with the president at the border? Was the president, he seemed to us to be in good spirits yesterday.
He was. That's the second time I've seen him in the last month. I had the privilege of visiting with him up in Trump Towers about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he was in good spirits then. He looks good. He's looks rested, well rested, and seems to be enjoying himself. So yesterday he looked really good. I know he's frustrated, as we all are. What is happening at the border is pretty obvious. And that is, if Kamala Harris and Joe Biden want to know what's happening at the border and why there's a crisis at the border, all they need to do is to look in the mirror. What they've done is to reverse all of the Trump-era policies, and that has resulted in a crisis at the border. When we had President Trump in office, we had one of the most secure borders we've ever had, and it was because of his policies. It was because of the construction of the wall. It was because of the stay in Mexico policy. It was because of Title 42. All of those things gave us a secure border. Those things have been reversed by the Biden administration, and for no other reason except that they were Trump policies. And the fact that they want a porous border, they want people over here. I mean, we've even had the president of Guatemala, the president of Mexico, who have indicated that the rhetoric from President Biden has added to the problem at the border, that his weak message has encouraged people, essentially, to come to the border. And that, again, you pointed out yourself, 93 days as the czar of the border, and Kamala Harris only makes it to the border last week. And why was she there last week? Simply because Donald Trump was coming this week. And then she goes to the wrong place on the border. She goes 800 miles away from where she should have been. She should have been in the Rio Grande Valley sector, where the problem really is, not in El Paso.
No, well, you're absolutely right about that, Congressman, and we pointed that out on this program. I'm curious, you mentioned that you were with the president up at Trump Tower. What were you guys up there for?
Well, of course, you know, we have a Senate campaign in the state of Georgia, and I was up there visiting him with that. And he announced this week that Herschel Walker has indicated that he's going to be running. I've talked to Herschel 3 or 4 times, but I haven't talked to him recently. I'm trying to get in touch with him. We got to stay focused on the prize here, and the prize is to take back that seat in the state of Georgia.
Got to. It's just mandatory. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, because the president minced no words when he blamed what happened in Georgia on Majority Leader, now Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell. What is the mood of the Republicans there in the state of Georgia? We have a lot of listeners in that part of the country.
Well, first of all, the mood has changed somewhat. There is more confidence in the voting system now since the Georgia State Legislature passed the Election Integrity Act. I think most voters, particularly Republican voters, now have confidence that their vote is going to be counted, that every legal vote is going to be counted, that no illegal votes are going to be counted. The Georgia State Legislature did their job, and I applaud them for that. They addressed what 75% of Georgians said they wanted, and that is more election integrity. They addressed what 60% of Democrats said they wanted, what 69% of of African Americans said that they wanted, and that is more election integrity. And they did that by passing the Election Integrity Act, by making voting easier in the state of Georgia and cheating harder. So I think this is going to give people, voters in the state of Georgia, particularly Republican voters, more confidence in our voting system in Georgia.
Well, that's good to hear, and I too am confident. It's going to be about the candidate. Now, you mentioned Herschel Walker. Are you if he's running, would you support him? Is he your guy?
Absolutely. I have made it clear to Herschel. I've made it clear to the president that if Herschel Walker runs, that I'm 110% behind him. However, if he decides not to run, I am going to be running, and the reason for that is because we need two things. We need someone who's going to fight. And Herschel will fight, and I will fight, and we need someone who's going to win. And Herschel will win, and I will win. So I'm all behind Herschel, and I've encouraged Herschel to run, and I'm glad to hear that he's leaning toward that, toward running. But I can assure you, if he does not run, I will be running.
All right. There, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman Buddy Carter, Congressman, best of luck to you, and let's wait and see. Certainly some exciting days coming down the pike.
Thank you.
All right. That was Congressman Buddy Carter from Georgia. He just said that if Herschel Walker is not running, he will run. And I'm curious to know, you folks in Georgia listening to us, we have a lot of radio stations. Of course, our flagship in Georgia, WDUN. Where do you folks stand on the Georgia Senate race? Are you throwing your support behind Herschel Walker? Who do you like as the next senator from your great state? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I'm chuckling here, and President Trump just released a statement, as he is known to do. And it's a simple question. This just coming in seconds ago from President Trump. He wants to know who shot Ashley Babbitt. Going back to what happened on January the 6th at the Capitol building. Donald Trump wants to know who shot Ashley Babbitt. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Hope you're doing good out there. By the way, now is a great time to head over to the store, order a copy of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and happy to sign copies for you. We are selling like hotcakes. Thank you, Grace Baker. Hotcakes. So lots of books out there. Very excited. The Billy Graham Library book signing coming up July 31st. We would love to see you out there. That's going to be a fun, fun day in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's where Travis is, Charlotte, North Carolina. Travis, welcome to the program.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you, Travis. What's on your mind? Now, We dumped Travis. So Travis is one of these leftists. I mean, the guy is sleaze. I don't know much about Travis, but I do know this: he lied to Grace Baker, our call screener, to get on the air. And Travis from Charlotte, North Carolina, who clearly was not raised right, just made a complete fool of himself on national radio by calling in and saying that we were going to hell and that Donald Rumsfeld was in hell. The only hell I can imagine is the personal hell Travis from Charlotte, North Carolina must be living in. Because this guy, and by and large, and I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but these prank callers like Travis, they're not prank callers, they're leftist. And here's the thing, on this radio program, Grace, we have a rule. What is that rule when it comes to people calling into the program?
If people disagree with you, they go right up to the front. That's
right
all they have to tell me.
Right to the front.
But they don't have to lie to me.
They don't have to lie. But that says a lot about his character.
Oh, yeah.
Or lack of. But typically, these guys, they lurk in their parents' basements. They have no job. They're getting the cash from the government. They're lazy-ass people. And they sit around, and this is how they get their jollies in life, among other things. And it's very unfortunate. So, Travis, good luck to you. You're probably going to have a miserable life, and I hate that for you. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's the path you chose. And we believe in freedom here in America and on the Todd Stearns radio show. And if you want to be a sleaze bucket for your entire life, then have at it. God bless America. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. New survey out of San Francisco. More than 40% of San Francisco residents, plan to leave the city. This is a jaw-dropping survey here. More than 40% of the people who live in San Francisco say they're ready to get the heck out of there. This is from the Daily Wire. For the second year in a row, 70% of residents feel the quality of life in San Francisco has declined. What stands out is the strikingly high and consistent number of respondents who now view the homeless and crime as the leading problems facing the city. 88% say homelessness or see homelessness as having worsened in recent years. An overwhelming 80% see addressing the homelessness crisis as a high priority. The CBS affiliate, which commissioned the poll, found that more than 40% say they plan to move out of the city in the next few years. Lindsay Stevens has lived in the Bay Area for 12 years until last weekend. Quote, there's nothing worse than seeing such a beautiful place in such disarray. I really thought I was going to be sad when the movers loaded up the last container on Saturday, and I have never been more relieved. I honestly think in the last 3 years we have seen a massive decline in the quality of life, and that was only enhanced over COVID. People do not feel safe walking their dog, and the number of break-ins seems to be constantly on the rise. Now, I want to ask you a question here. What does San Francisco have in common with Memphis, Tennessee? What does Memphis, Tennessee have in common with Chicago? What does Chicago have in common with New York City? They are all run by the Democrats. And when you give the Democrats control of your city, may God have mercy on your soul. I love Memphis. I was born and raised here. And I hate what the Democrats have done to this town. I hate it with a passion. This was a beautiful city, a vibrant area of America. Do you know there hasn't been a high-rise constructed in downtown since when? The 1970s, the 1980s? It's sad. People do not feel safe here. They don't feel safe in San Francisco. You're talking about 40% of the population packing up and moving. That'll turn San Francisco into a medium-sized city. And they're just not moving out of the city limits. They're moving out of the state. But can I say something? I don't blame the Democrats because they're morons. This is what they do. They don't create, they destroy. I blame the people. I blame the people of San Francisco. What's wrong with you people? Why do you keep voting for the Democrats? You know what they're going to do. You people of Memphis, Tennessee, what's wrong with you? For what, 40, 50 years you keep electing Democrats and you wonder why the city's gone to hell in a handbasket? You want to know why you can't even drive to the airport without wearing a Kevlar vest because you're going to get shot on the interstate? This is on you. This is on you. I mean, it's one thing if you get smacked around once, right? Okay, fine. And you forgive the person for smacking you around, for abusing you, and you think, well, maybe it was just an anomaly. But then when they come day after day and they beat the living crap out of you and you're there bleeding and you say, well, he still loves me. He loves me. He doesn't mean it. No, he means it. You got to get out of the house. Come on, people. Why do you keep sending the Democrats to City Hall? Why do you do it? Would someone please tell me? You good people of Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, what is wrong with you? Why do you keep sending these Democrats to City Hall? Why do you give them the power? It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And the same thing's happening in New York City right now, which they don't know who won the election. They don't have a clue. They don't have any idea who won the election. And you've got Bill de Blasio up there now saying we have to have a mandatory recount. Well, wait a second. Hold the presses. Hold the horses. I thought having a recount was an attack, a direct attack on democracy. Only when it benefits the Democrats. So I feel bad for you people in San Francisco, but you know what? You get what you vote for. You people in Chicago with Lori Lightfoot, the lesbian mayor, you get what you vote for. You people in Memphis, Tennessee, you get what you vote for. All I can say is Godspeed and keep your head down. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just had some delicious community coffee. It is the official, unofficial coffee of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. They don't actually pay us to say that they ought to, but they don't. But they make great coffee, and the best part about it, it's an American-owned, family-owned company, and we support those kinds of companies here on this program. I want to go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. What an honor to have Liz Harrington back with us. Liz, we knew you back in the day, and now you're a rock star. You're the official spokesperson for Donald J. Trump. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Todd, thanks so much for having me. It's so good to hear from you again.
Well, it has to be a lot of fun hanging out with the president and, you know, yesterday watching the president at the border. I think it just reminded everybody this is the guy who was in charge and was a true leader of this nation.
And exactly, real leader. I mean, yesterday it was on full display. This is what a real president, a legitimate president, acts like, talks like. I mean, the way the law enforcement officers and sheriffs that met him, you could see just how happy they were to see him because they know him so well. He worked with these states so closely. He delivered the most secure border in American history. And the reception, I mean, just thousands of people all across the roadways, everywhere we went. This man, I mean, is so loved, and for good reason, because he truly delivers. He believes in the country, and that's why he went yesterday. He's so concerned what Biden and Harris are doing illegitimately, by design, rolling back all of those hard-fought policies is designed to cripple our country, designed to eliminate our sovereignty. It's hurting our workers. It's increasing crime. It's an absolute disgrace, and it's destructive. And we're not just going to stand here and let it happen. We're going to be speaking the truth. We're going to be giving moral support to the people actually on the ground that have to deal with these awful consequences. And we're going to be making sure that everyone knows who actually has this nation's back and who's providing real leadership.
Liz, I wrote my national commentary earlier this morning, and it's just my observation. Seeing this massive rally in Ohio, seeing the president at the border, the town hall meeting with Sean Hannity, I think that Donald Trump is going to be the guy in 2024. I know he says he's made a decision. again, I don't want you to spill the beans or anything, but I mean, I don't see anybody else out there who can beat the Democrats right now.
There's nobody else, and everyone knows it. He's the real leader of this party. He's not just our party. I mean, we've seen it. There's a corrupt establishment in Washington, and people all across this country of both political parties and independents too saw what has been happening to our country, and that's why they support President Trump. It's his nomination if he wants it. But, you know, what he's been saying lately, you know, 2024 or before, because we really don't have time to waste. What part of our country is going to be left when you look at the censorship, our fundamental rights being taken away, the border, as I mentioned, our sovereignty just being given away to the Mexican drug cartels and the human traffickers, our energy independence. I mean, the inflation in this economy, our jobs, our livelihoods, what will be left? And that is why the president is so adamant about getting back out there, holding these rallies, not just talking about the destruction that's happening right now, but talking about how we got here in the first place, because he said it so well yesterday. If you don't have great elections and you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And that's exactly where we are right now. All of this is being done without the will of the people, without consent of the governed. And we need to, as Americans, recognize what is happening to our country, but also what are our God-given rights. President Trump so believes in that. That's why he's out there. That's why he's going to continue to be out there campaigning for these great candidates. Max Miller in Ohio, there's going to be so many more rallies focused on these good America First, real true patriots who won't sell out when they get to Washington, because we've seen it from both parties how quick they are to just give our country away.
And also it's important, and I know this has been a big deal for the president, is you've got people out there who are trying to say, well, you know, we've got the endorsement of the president. You know what? Unless it's coming from you or someone from Team Trump, don't believe it.
Right. And the president understands as well, his endorsement makes a difference. And he's going to be very particular about who he lends his name to and his support to, because like we said, the country's really on the line here. We can't have the same old business as usual. He spoke about it last night during the Hannity town hall. Mitch McConnell's just not going to cut it. He's let us down. We need new leadership. We need a new, I mean, we've got a band of them in Washington. We've got some real fighters, some great people, but they need reinforcements. We need more people that truly love this country and care about this country and aren't going to just change wherever the wind's blowing and sell our country out. We can't allow that to happen. And that's why he's going to be endorsing candidates that are ironclad, who back the America First agenda, and most of all, just love common sense and love our country and the people in it.
And I just love how he has been able to find the workarounds. We don't have to rely on social media anymore. People are still getting the message. This president is still resonating with the American people. And just a few moments ago, he posted a very simple question. Who shot Ashley Babbitt?
Right. Absolutely. And it goes straight to the people. It goes straight to your inbox. And you get, I mean, it's amazing the power behind it, because he's had the entire world against him. You see what they're doing in New York. You see what big tech has done, censoring him and purging him and putting him down the memory hole. I mean, you can't even post a video with his voice without it getting banned on Instagram. It's absolutely un-American. But the good news is we don't need him. And guess what? We don't need Fox News either. They didn't carry the president's speech live in Wellington, Ohio. That's okay. We had other networks step up. We've got Newsmax. We've got Right Side Broadcasting. We've got OAN. People want the truth, and they're going to go directly to the source. And that's why the president has been so successful in getting rid of these corrupt gatekeepers that do not care about the future and fate of this country and the people in it. President Trump does. And all those people, they just are hungry for the truth. They're going to find the information. And that's why no matter where we go, new social media platforms or otherwise, we will have the support of the people on our side, because President Trump is so consistent and he's so concerned with getting the truth out there.
Well, you're right about that. And I was down at Mar-a-Lago about a month ago, and the president looks great. He looks rested, and I think he's ready for a fight, Liz. And I think the American people are going to respond. And if he does in fact run, and we saw the smile, we saw the smile, Liz. If he runs, this could be a landslide. I mean, this could be huge, huge.
Well, like he said the other night, he's already had to beat him twice. He might have to do it a third time. Landslide, certainly, for the last two. Absolutely. But we got to get our election straightened out. We absolutely have to. We got to get this corruption out. We have to get the truth. We still got the audit in Arizona. We're going to have an audit in Georgia. We're seeing movement in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, other states as well. We just want the true results. That's all we're concerned about. But yeah, absolutely, he's got the popular support. He's got the mandate. If it's his, if he wants it. And that's why he's not just going to sit back and relax and, you know, enjoy his life, which he has every right
to do. That's right.
He's going to keep fighting because he cares so much. And I just have to tell you, it's only been a couple weeks working for him. He is such an incredible person who's exactly the same in front of the cameras, off cameras, behind the scenes. He is the real deal. He's amazing, and he's going to never stop fighting for America.
Well, Liz, we're going to leave it there. Congratulations. A great pick the president made, and we look forward to getting you back on the show very soon.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Liz Harrington, ladies and gentlemen, and Liz has been a part of our show for a very long time now, and she is on fire, and we are excited about the great things that are coming down. Folks, I don't want to read between the lines of what Liz was saying, but that does not sound like a man who is about to go away anytime soon. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. Open lines coming up, whatever you want to talk about. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Folks, Independence Day just right around the corner, and lots of fireworks displays, at least here in the southern states. We're gonna have a couple of big fireworks celebrations here in the Memphis, Tennessee area, and tomorrow we're gonna have some. We'll do some Independence Day trivia on the program, so that'll be a lot of fun. Grace Baker got big plans for the 4th of July.
I'm still working that out. I'll be here in Memphis.
So you'll be here in Memphis.
Yeah.
All right. This is Merlot. Now, you know, the little dogs don't do well with fireworks.
She, so far, doesn't mind noises, like loud noises, thunderstorms, trains, or anything like that. But I am going to stay nearby here because I don't know how she's going to react.
And Avery, what about you? Of course, Georgia, big patriotic state. You guys got big plans?
Oh, yeah. My family, we're going up to my grandmother's house in Hiawassee. And, yeah, I believe, yeah,
well, that's
I don't know why. Yeah, it's the mountain area. I believe it's up near Young Harris for all you WDUN listeners, if you're not too familiar with where Hiawassee is. But, yeah, we're going to go out on the lake, probably watch some fireworks, because I don't think we're purchasing any fireworks for ourselves, but I'm sure that there will be plenty of people who will be shooting off fireworks from the lake, maybe.
What's
maybe
that big, on the big interstate there, I-40, you got Big Bubba's fireworks. So
oh,
I've always
yeah.
wanted to go yep. over there, you know, and get a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was
yeah.
a video yesterday. Did you guys see this video? It was in Los Angeles. They were confiscating all these fireworks. You're not allowed to fire
what?
The fireworks there. And they put them in the bomb disposal unit, that big, huge tank of a thing.
Yeah.
And they exploded.
No.
Blew the
oh,
I mean,
no.
it injured like almost a dozen people.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's awful.
But the entire thing blew up. It's on the Twitter. It's unbelievable.
Don't take people's fireworks.
These were not sparklers.
No.
Or cherry bombs. I don't know what they were. Unbelievable. This story from the New York Times. Guys, I'm very interested to hear your take on this. The New York Times is very concerned because people are texting, and while they're texting, they're using punctuation. They're using proper grammar. And so the whole point of the New York Times story is no more periods when texting. Period.
I got to give them points on the title, at least.
It is clever. But now they're saying that if you use proper punctuation when you text message someone, or maybe you're doing a social media post, that it is it doesn't mean what you think it means. It can almost become very authoritative, is what they're trying to say.
I don't get how using proper punctuation means anything.
According to the Times, to younger generations, using proper punctuation in a casual context, like texting, can give an impression of formality that borders on rudeness.
Okay.
So they're saying if you text and you don't use, and you use a period or an exclamation mark, that that's somehow being rude.
You would think the opposite if you took the time.
So yeah. here's my take on this. And I heard our good friend Tim Van Horn talking about this on the morning show here in Memphis, is that if you don't have a period there, how do you know it's the end of your thought? I mean, it's you might think there's more to come. And if there's
exactly.
not a period there, you're left hanging.
You're left hanging. And you're then, like, what's the rest?
To me, that would be rude.
You're leading someone on.
According
Wouldn't
to
be the first time I've been led on.
Avery.
Oh, no.
Do you want to have some conversations about this?
That sounded bitter.
I'm sorry. I
know.
I saw the opportunity and I took it.
Bitter. My goodness. Poor Avery.
Do we just need a segment on the show where, like, Avery can vent his dating frustrations?
Wow.
Like, that just we'll get a couch and some nice music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like a couch. I'd like to be able to do all my work on a couch. That would be nice.
I'll see what we can do.
It's
not in the budget this year, I can tell you that much. So, but you could sit in the van or something.
Ooh.
And do your
Can I sit in your Cadillac
there.
And do my work?
You could sit in the Caddy. By the way, I've had that Cadillac for a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that it has its own Wi-Fi hotspot.
You didn't know that?
I
that
didn't know
fancy.
That.
That is fancy.
I also didn't realize because, fortunately, my family actually was kind enough to drive me to Nashville. And I was sitting in the back seat, and I didn't realize it's really nice back there. You got the cup holders. You got your own little things going on, and it's mm-hmm. very nice.
Well, now you get to, you know, you drive your car, and then you got to experience the rest of it.
Absolutely. And it drives smooth. I will say this about the Caddy. It drives smooth and fast.
Yes. Yes, it does.
God love it. All right, back to this texting story. This is fascinating stuff here. And I'm just kind of curious, folks, if you're feeling the same way here. The Times says that, where am I? I got lost in the story. Oh, here we go.
It's a long story.
It is a long story. They should have edited. They said it borders on rudeness, as if the texter is not comfortable enough with the texting partner to relax. Do you use safe punctuation?
Oh,
the message ending period establishes a certain distance. The punctuation is polite when speaking to someone older than you or above you at work, but off-putting among friends. We're watching the deconstruction of the of language. That's what we're looking at.
We got way
here.
Bigger problems going on right now.
You know what's happening? What's happening?
I was going to say,
guys?
Avery. What's going on? What this is causing is that, you know, like, yeah, your people don't typically text their boss. Or, you know, older people, then they're texting their friends for the majority of the time. That's normal, because I know that I do that for sure. But what this is going to happen, because they were saying, oh, yeah, using punctuation is great for when you're texting, you know, people who are have higher status than you, such as, you know, just in a workplace, not necessarily, you know, wage gap, whatever. But it's causing us to, that's going to become the norm now. Like, oh, you don't have to necessarily use proper punctuation in a formal context when you're texting or emailing or something like that. That's a big pet peeve of mine when I'm trying to do a formal email to someone I have just met and they're not using proper punctuation. That's a big turnoff for
me. I agree with that.
They say that using proper grammar comes off as cold, distant, and passive aggressive.
What a load of baloney.
You know what this is leading to? This, wait for it. The period is racist.
Oh, of
that's,
course.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're
mm-hmm.
going to come. Oh, this is just the white man trying to stick it to us again. How dare you parse a participle?
Oh, geez, Louise.
Mm. I will just ask them, have they ever read a paragraph that has zero periods in it? I have, and that's a very difficult thing to read.
Yeah, it's terrible. Just a run-on sentence, and you get out of breath, and you're like, you can't say anything.
All right, we may bring this up, because I want to hear from some English teachers about this. We're deconstructing our language, and folks, I'm telling you, we are heading towards the Tower of Babel all over. It's all in reverse. Folks, this is unbelievable, but this is all about deconstructing who we are. Unbelievable. All right, got to get out of here, folks. Been a great day. Good to be back. Thanks to Tim Van Horn for filling in yesterday. Terrific job. You guys were very kind to him. Don't forget, our daily biscuit. Order your copy today, America.